All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I want to introduce my guest, Mr. Attorney Hector Quiroga. Sir, is that how was your name pronounced?
Key, like the key for your car. Quiroga.
Quiroga. Quiroga.
That's right.
And you are an immigration attorney.
That is correct.
So here's what I want to do before we get to you. This immigration has been an ongoing problem in this country for a long time, and it's caused such division in this nation. People are either on one side or the other, and yet people never or rarely talk about why there is so much movement at the border and why there's so many people who are trying to escape their nations. And what I found is that our policies in Central America, the United States policies historically, have created this movement. We have interfered in elections in Central America for decades, and it's caused destabilization. And so there are people who will risk their lives to cross the deserts and come to America, and you hear people on one side of this saying, well, they're coming because America offers these great opportunities that the other nations don't offer, but which is true to the degree that there is only one United States of in the world. But the other side of this is, if we didn't interfere with our policies in those other nations, maybe people would stay home and have a better opportunity in their own lands. What do you say about that?
That's certainly one of the arguments that we see, and that is the policy of the United States and certain, like you said, Latin American countries, including the South, right, are very they protect the American economy. Sometimes at the expense of other nations that can't really talk very loud, right? I am from Colombia. I'm a Colombian immigrant myself. I immigrated in 2000. And so we know that even countries like Colombia know they can't speak too loud when it comes to world trade because the United States is just too powerful. So they don't get very good deals when it comes to some of those trades when they come in. For example, from Colombia specifically, the trade of bananas, for example, is a very powerful export for them. And some of those treaties are not very beneficial to some of the to the farmers over there. So it creates a lot of political unrest and creates the situation where people have to leave because they can't, you know, grow their bananas. They have to go somewhere. And they come to the border, south border of the United States, try to look for a better place.
Mr. Quiroga, or Attorney Quiroga, it's just not talked about enough in this country. And so it's easy for people, to Americans, to talk about the people who are gathered at the border with the clothes on their backs. Because they can no longer stand their homelands because there's no hope for a future. And so it's easy to point the finger at those people and say those immigrants are trying to sneak into our country. But I think it's also important that the American people understand the whys of why those people are there.
And there is a...
For Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and W...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've seen a very interesting in history of the United States, and it's been that, right? It's a point where it was Italian Americans and Irish Americans that have come and they have assimilated and they come in. So there's always been immigration in the United States, and it's created a lot of opportunity for the country, right? Being a very diverse country brings a lot more of ideas, and it really propels the country forward. So I think so those are great questions that we all should sit down and look at, A, our history, and B, what policies are we putting open those nations that cause the exodus of people into the United States.
So at the root of many people who are down at the border, and what upsets so many Americans is they talk about the immigration system being broken. It takes forever for people who are trying to get here legally to be able to be inculcated into this nation. Why have we not spent enough time working on that? You hear people saying we can't afford to bring those people in, but based on the fact that there are less and less people to work these jobs, we can't afford not to bring people in.
That is correct, I think the issue of space and opportunity is abundant in the United States. I think we can and actually we assimilate them. However, to answer the bigger question, I don't think this is necessarily a party problem or a whether it was the right or the left. I think through administrations, there has not been enough resources, budget to be able to handle this. And so we typically need immigration practitioners, especially the people who are defending deportation, like my firm is. It's 9 lawyers where we work at. We feel like we are dealing with almost like capital cases where people might actually be sent back to a nation where they might die. And we had cases like that where people returned to their country and they were gunned down just a few weeks later. So we feel the pressure, but we say we're dealing with capital cases on a traffic court budget. When you go to these courts, the judge doesn't have a clerk often. The judge has an interpreter, but the judge has to make his own copies. The courtrooms are tiny, they're packed with people. They give you, on a case, in trial, what we call an individual hearing, sometimes they give you 4 hours maximum to be able to argue your case, sometimes 2 hours. There is no real rules or evidence, for example. You just sit down and everybody cross-examines. There is not a rule of direct questioning and cross-examination, none of that. There's no deposition, there's none of that. We literally sometimes feel a speech and debate, and hopefully you can do the best you can in 2 hours. And so the issue is budget, and this is created because there's not enough judges, there's not enough courts, there's no budget. And so we're gonna end up with this very highly sensitive and potentially delicate problems in such extreme, with so little resources that it creates a lot of problems. It is passed from a generation, from administration to administration. We are to a point, we just had a hearing continued, and it's gonna be continued now to 2025. January 2025. So imagine that. So your next hearing. Yeah.
So what happens to the person that now is in limbo? That you know, we're talking 2025. We're in 2022. Yeah. What happens to that person?
So in many, many cases, that person is not even eligible for a work permit. We know you're here, legally speaking. The court has jurisdiction over this person, but the person can't even access a work permit unless it's specifically authorized. That means this person is forced to make a living some way, and we know that that's probably going to be some sort of undocumented work, working on some sort of under the table, correct? So we cannot create that situation because we know the person is here, but we also know that they can work. And it makes the problem a lot worse because these people, you know, they're here for sometimes 5 years, 6 years waiting to be heard. So then they get married, they might have children. So they start getting a lot of roots in the country. So when we go to court, then it's like, well, they have children. They now have kids that are United States citizens. And so the delay really creates a lot of issues for everybody.
But at the same time, they're paying taxes.
That's a big point of contention for us immigration attorneys, and the answer is yes, they pay taxes. I mean, they work when they work, even without a work permit, they give them a check, and the money is absolutely taken from their bank account. They pay sales tax, they pay, you know, whatever they're renting, then part of that rent is going to property taxes. So they are definitely part of the tax system. And one of the things that we do is we file IRS forms to support the court, to the court or to the USCIS, that this person is a person of good moral character. Well, you see right in there that they pay taxes. I mean, there's no question about that. But they attack a lot on that they don't even pay taxes. Well, they do. They actually do. If they want to move in any way in this country, they have to have at least an ITIN number, and with that, they have to, you know, pay taxes, and then also kind of create some sort of credit, right?
So, Attorney Quiroga, we've got to go to a break. I guess we got a couple minutes left still. But what I will say to you is, I think it's so important, and I'm so happy to have you on the line to clear up what is clearly confusion in this nation for people who have no concept at all of what is going on. And it's easy to point the finger at people and call them criminals. But the criminal act is the fact that we have a government, the wealthiest on earth, that refuses to put the resources necessary into the system that can clear all of this up. Got to go to a break. Attorney Hector Quiroga is my guest. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
You can choose.